Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey, this is Dynamite Dee Dee.
This is Flash McKenna.
This is former WCW wrestling star Glacier.
This is your favorite homie, JR.
This is Sean Maluta, the King of the Savant Kid.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Top of the Morning.
That intro make you want to like kind of DMX that, like,
come on, what?
give me a little DMX, Dave.
What? Come on.
Well, good morning, everybody. That's a way to start the morning. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there, all the moms listening as well. This is the Top of the Morning podcast, and I'm your host, Eric Ames, your social media director and news editor for thechairshot.com. We are brought to you exclusively by thechairshot.com.
With
so make
attitude,
sure you check that out.
Bitch.
Dude, he's got anger issues, I'm telling you. First thing in the morning, always, this guy.
No, I can't really blame him.
All right, so let's go around the horn here, meet today's crew, because we have somebody taking Doug's spot. He's off doing some Mother's Day activities. So, Dave, how's it going this morning, buddy? How's your weekend?
Oh, it's going good so far. Good so far. Got to do a little Limitless wrestling on Friday. So I got my my live wrestling in. Well, I wasn't wrestling, but it was fun. It was fun.
Me a little bit about that, because I haven't been to a Limitless wrestling show, which is a local promotion up here in Maine, in quite a while. But I don't know, the last times that I was going, those things are marathons.
They can be. The early ones were more marathons than now. Now it's a much more manageable show, probably around 3 hours. And there's a little intermission in between. So, you know, you can go outside, get some fresh air, or my version of fresh air, which is not fresh air. And, you know, it's fun. It's fun if you're into indie wrestling. Not everybody is. But we've been doing it for about 2 years now, going to these shows. They used to be way up north in Orono, so that was a haul. It's a haul anytime you go to Orono. We go to some hockey games up in Orono, and that's a haul, man. You know, almost 3 hours each way. So it's a lot better now that it's in Portland, Westbrook area. This show was in Portland, but. Yeah, man, we had a great time, and it's a pretty laid back atmosphere out there. If you want to meet some of the guys, they bring in some notable names, usually one or two each show. So we're loving it. We're loving it. Molly ended up bringing Rachel Ellering out to the show. That's what she likes to do. She likes to drive around wrestlers. I don't know. I can't really explain it any better than that. She's like, yeah, I'm going to go and pick up Rachel Ellering now. I'll see you before the show. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, no problem. Just go pick up Rachel Ellering. That's fine.
You just name drop that
put
on your
work,
real quick.
You know?
Right, yeah. So when are you picking up Deonna Purrazzo?
She did that too. I was
well, she's got that nice new. She's got that nice new whip now, which is much easier to fit monsters like Brian Cage into your car.
Oh man, yeah, that's exactly right too. She brought Brody King home that same night. And if you don't know who Brody King is, he's a freaking monster. Great guy. And very entertaining in the ring. He went up against Eli Everfly, who's this, geez, he's got to be 5 feet tall. And he was just throwing him around the ring. Oh, it was perfect to watch. But, yeah, we had a great time, man. Great time. Anybody need to see some good live wrestling in the state of Maine? Limitless Wrestling. Other than the, you know, the few house shows a year that WWE does, which usually, what, that's one or two shows a year?
One in Augusta and one, you know, in Portland.
Exactly. So, Limitless, they put on like maybe one show a month, you know, give or take. So yeah, it's a fun time.
So we're still kind of waiting on Josh here. He's having some computer troubles. So we're going to meet the new member of our team this week, who's filling in for Doug. People in the Nashville area will definitely know him, and definitely people in Maine will as well. He used to be on Q97.9, but he now lives in Nashville, and he is the host of JR's Party Playhouse, 7 to 12 on I-106.7. That's Monday through Friday. Our favorite homie, my favorite homie. Your favorite homie, JR. What up, homie?
Top of the morning to you guys. I'm really pumped to be part of this today.
As are we.
Whole new way for you to do this time around. You know, you were on the show before, and it must have been weird hearing yourself in our intro there.
Yeah, dude, it was pretty sweet. I was like, yo, I know that voice. Holy shit, that's me.
It's like, oh, perfect. You sandwich me between Sean Maluda and Jake Roberts.
Not a bad
That sounds like an interesting three-way.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Yeah, that's quite the triple threat there, so... So, yeah, you've had a lot going on, man. Let's kind of talk about it because, you know, I had you on before, obviously, and we did more of an interview and talked wrestling, which a lot of people, if anyone's listening in the Nashville area, they may not know that you're a big wrestling fan since you're from our neck of the woods up in Maine. Yeah. But, yeah, I kind of saw you just basically up and left to Nashville one day. So kind of tell me how that all really came about.
It's been a really crazy story, actually. I remember working with Q97.9. I was there 3 years, hosted the night show there. And after a while, I kind of started to feel like I had accomplished everything that I could. So I decided to leave radio, and I was completely out of it for a full year. And then this is going to sound weird to you guys, but I started having these weird dreams that I was back on the air, but I couldn't tell where because there was no windows in the studio.
Oh,
and like, I don't know. It was so bizarre. And like, legitimately that night I get a call from Joe Breezy, who would eventually become my program director here in Nashville, and asked me if I'd be interested in a job. It was just the most bizarre thing.
Beautiful.
Yeah. That's really, really random. So you basically had a premonition.
Is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. It was wonderful.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So essentially, Eric, I just packed up my stuff, and it was scary because I dropped everything that I knew, everything that I was comfortable with. I left all my friends, my family, and I said, to grow as a man and also as a broadcaster, I need to move here. And it's been an incredible experience so far these past 8 months.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
That is very awesome.
I did something similar, you know, years back. Obviously, Dave remembers, where I kind of just moved to Florida, and it was like, it was really a culture shock because Maine, I don't know, Maine is a whole different world compared to anywhere else, it seems, especially when you've been living here your whole life.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it kind of is. You know, there's not really, I mean, I don't want to say there's no culture here. There's plenty of culture here, but when you've been here your whole life and then you venture out, it can be a bit of a culture shock. Yeah. Going anywhere, really.
I've only met one mean person so far since I moved here. Just one.
Just the one?
Just one guy. One late night after work. There's a McDonald's across the street from my job. And I was like, yo, I need something to eat. I'm starving. It's midnight because I'm on the air until midnight. I go there, order what I do. I go, sir, have yourself a great night. He goes, yeah, what the fuck ever, and slams the window in my face. Fuck ever.
Yeah, that's definitely not the New England style, I guess. And, I don't know, maybe unless you're in Boston.
I don't know.
If you're in Boston, then it's more like,
yeah.
What the fuck ever, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, so a lot of people, you know, they obviously will know you from the radio, but they may not be aware that you actually do music too. And I've heard a couple of your songs, which you can go check out on iTunes, by the way. My personal favorite, Don't Hurt Me, JR. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but it's the In My Father's Eyes sample one.
Father's
What's
Eyes,
that
yeah.
One?
That was the song
yes,
that I
one.
Wrote about my dad.
Yes, I loved that one. However, your new one, which let's get into a little bit of that right now. It just came out on iTunes, so I want to kind of touch on this briefly, but let's check it out. I'd like to take you all around the world.
A kiss from you and we'll be on our way. All we need is a ticket. Yeah, we can kick it. Grab the checklist. Where you wanna visit, baby? If you wanna party hard, we can hit Bourbon Street for Mardi Gras. And if you kinda feel like busting loose, so we can roll tide.
Dude, homie, tell me about it, man. Tell me about it.
Well, it Around the World came about in a very interesting point in my life because I hadn't like really done music in quite a while. Probably 2-3 years, and I kind of was like, you know, can I still do it? Because I had to put it on the back burner because I started doing radio, I started DJing, but like a part of me, like I just love to do it, like it's so fun for me. So writing that song was kind of like a personal challenge to kind of say, all right, I can still do this, and it's something that I want to continue with. I teamed up with a R&B singer out of North Carolina. His name's Jerry White, and he did the chorus for me. We both wrote the song together. And it came out really good. Like, I'm super proud of that song.
Very good. That's what the kids would call a fire jam right there.
Yeah.
I like the, like I told you before, we were talking off the air yesterday, you have, I don't even know how you would describe it, but almost like that sample, I guess, which is the intro to your YouTube show, which you kind of always are filming different gigs and all these various cool things that you're doing. That's definitely a part of it, a favorite part of that.
Yeah, cool. I mean, yeah, I jumped into vlogging as a way to communicate with the radio audience that I had built back home after I left, because you go from talking to these people 5-6 nights a week and, you know, you start to have a real connection with them, and then you leave that platform and there's just a huge void there. So I jumped into vlogging, and that was just a way for me to really connect with that audience that I had.
So we're not like obviously in tune with the music side of things, music industry. So what kind of goes into, you know, like the time frame of making a song like that from like beginning to end to the final product?
So the way that my creative kind of works, Eric, is I like to start with like a general idea, like a general concept. And the concept of this song was pretty much in the title. It was meeting, you know, a woman and taking her around the world with you. So I start with that concept, and then I need to get a beat that I think is going to be perfect. And I actually have a producer who works out of Toronto, Canada. So I will jump on Skype with him or FaceTime, whatever, and kind of explain to him what kind of sound that I'm looking for, and then he'll custom build that for me. I'll then write my verses, and then I reached out to Jerry White, who did the hook for me, and I actually recorded all the stuff you heard of me in that record. I recorded in Portland, Maine, and I would send it down to get mixed and mastered in North Carolina. So that song was made in Canada. It was made in Portland, Maine. It was made in North Carolina. And just the power of the internet is what really brought that whole record together.
That's awesome, man.
Hey, let me ask you something. I heard, this is a rumor, that you actually built a Lego house with Ed Sheeran. That's crazy. That's awesome. So how did that come about?
I can confirm that to be true. Okay, so
that's great.
There's
video evidence.
Yes, it's up there. And if you watch the video, you can tell I'm just like, I'm about to crap my pants because it was like my first high profile interview I've ever done. And my boss one day, he just casually, oh yeah, tomorrow you're going to drive to the Bridgestone Arena. You're going to go backstage and interview Ed Sheeran. And I was like, excuse me? I'm going to what?
Dude, that's awesome. And, that's like the equivalent of taking a pill in Ibiza.
You know? So like my mind started racing. Like what am I going to ask this guy? And I was like, all right, I remember Ed's like big first hit being Lego House, and I was like, I'm gonna go to Toys R Us, rest in peace, and I'm gonna buy a big box of Legos so I have something to do with my hands because that's how nervous I was, honestly. And I was like, we're gonna build something together, and I'm gonna stumble through this interview, and it was pretty crazy experience.
That's awesome.
I liked it.
Yep. That's great.
Well, JR, what's up, man? My name's Swirly. I haven't met you yet. I jumped in here late.
Oh,
but,
Swirly. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, nice of you to join us.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
Good.
You get
party?
We got that old school equipment up here. It really doesn't function that well in the morning, you know?
Sorry. Fashionably late. That's okay.
You know what I do. Well, JR, I'm a huge fan of New Japan. I've just recently gotten a package on TV where I can actually watch it. And like a lot of people here in the States, I kind of jumped on the Young Bucks fan wagon. And I heard you actually met them. How were they to meet?
Well, I don't know where you heard that, but I didn't actually meet the Young Bucks. But I did go to a Ring of Honor taping here in Nashville, which earlier you guys were talking about Limitless and those early shows being a marathon. They must have taped 5 or 6 episodes of TV. I was there for nearly 7 hours in that building, and I was going stir crazy. And of course, the Bucks are the last show of the night, so you were just there. Like, it was the longest day, but it was so worth it because this like Bullet Club being the Elite, I watch every week, and that's what really turned me on to those guys. And it was just, aside from it being really, really long, it was an awesome show. I like pretty much any form of wrestling.
Great, man. That is, the rumors are the best. That was like a long game of telephone. And see how it gets transferred?
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, I had to mute myself. I'm laughing so hard over here.
You know what Eric may have gotten confused is when Young Buck from G-Unit randomly stopped by my radio show. So maybe that's where he thought
no.
the Young Buck.
No, I'm just uneducated. I'm just uneducated and can't read. It's all it is.
It's that old equipment.
This is just my stupidity.
That's too
Since
sweet.
It's out there, I got to address it now because we're all dying about it. But we have this private conversation on Twitter, and I fed Josh a question. It was for JR, tell me about meeting Young Buck. And I meant G-Unit Young Buck. He thought I was talking about the Young Bucks.
Well, it is a wrestling podcast. Of course he would assume that.
Yeah, right,
well,
exactly.
I forgot about the Ring of Honor thing, so it actually kind of worked out. But oh, my God, that is absolutely priceless.
You know what?
JR.
You just made the list. Oh, no.
You handled that like a professional. Thank you.
Yeah,
oh,
I got your back, bro.
That is a true professional. What a way to kick off the show. Well, thanks for jumping on, Josh.
Yeah, buddy.
Shit.
All right. Get it together, Eric. Get it together. All right, cool. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to get into our topics. It's our first segment, of course, if you listened last week. we're going to go ahead and set the table today, and we're going to kind of go off the wall a little bit. So what do you say, boys? Let's take a trip to the movies.
Love it. The old right. Alien Ant Farm.
Yeah, what more? What perfect. What better clip could you have for that? So
I don't know.
This is my topic. This is my topic this morning, and you can, as we add topics to the table here, if you're listening in, you can go ahead and give us a call at 914-803-4532. As we add something on, we'll add that to the call list. So go ahead and ask a question, give us a comment. If you want us to nerd song you, we'll go ahead and do that. So let's go ahead and get into it. While everybody is talking about Avengers, unfortunately, I have yet to see it. I know Josh has seen it already, and he's kind of dying for the rest of us to check it out so we can talk about it. But I'm going to talk about something that came out a little bit before that because I love comedies. So we're going to get into this one today.
I wanted to make sure you had your full team back.
Becky Vincent, Paley!
Glittering and glittering and
Rabbit. My name's Rabbit.
What pills do we have?
Not sure. I think it's a mood enhancer. I know I'm in a better mood.
Loser cuts his pinky toe off with a shovel.
Take that bet.
I suggest you take that bet, Rabbit.
Super Troopers 2. Rated R.
Okay, so obviously that was Super Troopers 2. Which is 17 years after the first one. Before we get into that, JR, I got to ask you, what kind of movies are you into? When you see a trailer for something like this, does it kind of interest you? Is that what you go see when you go to the movies? Or are you kind of more of the big blockbuster kind of a guy?
Super Troopers, not so much, but I can't believe that it's been 17 years. I just feel super old.
Tell me about it.
But I did go see Avengers. And I thought it was incredible. The ending kind of pissed me off because, in my opinion, there really wasn't one, per se. But Iron Man kicked some serious ass, and that's pretty much all I needed to see. As far as movies that I like, my all-time flick is Back to the Future. So if that tells you anything about me, that's kind of my realm.
Hey, I love Back to the Future.
That's a classic. You can't go wrong with it. So let's get into Super Troopers 2, of course. The whole gang is back. Mac Thorney, Farva, Rabbit, Foster, the old Cap, all the old faces. And this is right up my alley, this kind of movie. Me and Dave actually went and saw this with the missus there. These kind of movies, it's always a little bit difficult because it's been so long. And usually when something like this is not really reprised, but they go back to it, there's a lot of callback jokes, just a lot of So, and obviously we heard the trailer there. I have to say, the trailers that they show on TV don't do this movie justice. When I saw the Red Band trailer, which I'm pretty sure I sent to you, Dave, that was when I knew for sure that I had to go see it because that's obviously rated R. There's a lot more to it than what they'll give you on TV. So definitely check that out if you're kind of on the fence about Super Troopers. So this came out on 420, which obvious advertising there. And kind of the basis of this is, you know, they had been fired. They're no longer troopers, which I got to talk about this opening a little bit because it's very unusual, like kind of more unusual than even for this movie or this kind of genre. So I'll talk about it and then I'll pose this to you, Dave. So it's kind of like, you see this like shaggin' wagon, I guess you would call it, or like this old 70s kind of a van, and it gets pulled over by the highway. And of course, you're expecting it to be one of the Super Troopers, but out steps Sean William Scott, Stifler, who I haven't seen in a movie in forever. And it turns out that the Super Troopers are in the van, and they're like this traveling band. I almost felt like I've never done it before, but I mean, I was like on an acid trip or something because I didn't understand what was happening. It made no sense whatsoever. They end up explaining it. Yeah, they end up explaining it a little bit. And then, obviously, we see that Stifler has a partner, and it's Damon Wayans Jr., so that's kind of another nice little surprise. I'm giving a little bit of spoilers here, but not too bad. But I don't know, Dave, when you saw this opening, my first thought was, uh-oh, this might suck. I don't know. Well, how did you feel about it?
Well, it made me wonder, because I know just because of the previews that there were going to be cops again at some point, but the way that it all happened, you know, and like I said, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but it seemed to progress in such a manner that not only were they not going to be police officers again, but one of them was going to fucking die. So it was a really weird opening. The only thing that I was bummed about with that opening is that Stifler is not in the entire movie, because it seemed like this was going to fit in perfectly. Like, oh, this is great. He's a super trooper now.
That was kind of what I thought, too.
But then it all winds up being a dream. It's a dream sequence, you know? So it's it was a pretty funny opening, though. It was a good way to get it back into the thing.
Yeah, once they explained it, I was like, all right, I guess that kind of makes sense. But it just seemed really, I don't know, what an odd way to kind of get into the movie. But so anyway, the plot of this is they have been fired as troopers. They're no longer troopers for, you know, what reason, we don't know. They keep referring to Fred Savage, or the quote, Fred Savage thing, which becomes a recurring joke throughout the movie and then does pay off quite hilariously later
in
on.
In the credits.
Which I will not, I won't spoil that.
This time around, it does.
This time around, they had more money to work with. Obviously, the last time, the first one was really kind of a cult comedy classic at this point. But they were able to get some names. So we have Rob Lowe, who plays the mayor of the Canadian town, which the basis of the movie is there's a part of Canada that is actually owned by America. So it turns out that they need this new force to kind of patrol or police this new part of America, and it ends up they need the super troopers. So, but Rob Lowe is the mayor of the town, and then you also have Will Sasso, who people will remember from Mad TV, and maybe some people don't remember this or not, or would have liked to have forgotten about it, but he did do some stuff in WCW too with Bret Hart that was funny for all the wrong reasons.
Did not know that.
But then, yeah. But then we have one of my favorites. I'm a huge fan of Entourage, so I've always had the biggest crush on this girl. But Emmanuel Shariki is also in this movie, and she was E's girlfriend and ended up being his baby mama in Entourage, known as Sloan. And oh my God,
Eric, calm down over there. I mean,
take it easy, buddy. It's all right.
I do like the ladies, you know. I do.
Yeah, she's a babe. Well, I lost my train of thought when I started thinking about her. So anyway,
I think we were talking about Super Troopers.
I think we were, yeah. So anyway, she's in the movie as well. There's a lot of awesome new jokes. They do some callback stuff, some, I guess, repeat stuff like you heard in the trailer, the glittering end. But there's a lot of new stuff in there, too. Obviously, Farva is his big, dumb, usual self and probably the funniest person in the whole movie. I'm really glad that they didn't rehash a lot of stuff, because a lot of people like really expect that with these kind of things.
Sure.
But I really found myself laughing pretty much from beginning to end. And there's one part of this that I couldn't help it. So I'm sorry, Josh, if you want to see this movie, but this was easily my favorite part of the movie.
You got to set this up just right, too.
Do neither of you speak English?
I do. Your papers. We would like to eat your papers.
Can you show me your party papers?
You want to see our party papers? Party papers.
Oui, bon vivant, bouillabaisse, cul-de-sac, laissez-faire, chicken cordon bleu.
Formidable, bâton rouge, noblesse oblige, au bon pain, château maman.
Croque mes yeux?
Croque madame.
Non, c'est stupide.
Frère Jacques Grépeau, pont maquis de sa tourette, vous?
Faire d'auteur croissant, les misérables, first catcher, Luke Robert, I d'Artagnan, payé, friend, Tark, and ton pinot, poster, perceur.
Oh, de toilette!
Oh, de nous adhère!
Yeah.
Oh God.
Luke Rubatai got me.
The one that gets me is the fart catch air.
Yeah. Pretending to be.
And I believe I caught a croak madame in there.
Oh my God, there was so much in there. Go ahead,
so.
Dave.
Yeah. They're just pretending to be Mounties to get back at the Mounties who they're kind of in competition with throughout the movie. You know, Will Sasso does a great Mountie. He kind of reminds me, I don't know, he just looks like he's the mountain. He's just so big, and he's just got that head, and just this big head, speaking in a French-Canadian accent the whole time, and, of course, he's so good at impressions. Oh, my God. Start to finish, that movie lived up to the hype, I think. They did harken back to some of the old jokes, you know, the let me see your license right now and all that, you know, that had to be done. Jim Gaffigan makes a reappearance too. So they kind of had to do those things, you know, with the cult classic of the first one. So, but all the new humor, like the Mountie humor, that was what was really funny in that movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. You kind of have to recall some old stuff a little bit. We saw some of that with Dumb and Dumber 2, which I'm not talking about the prequel, but the one with Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, which I will contend with anybody is just as funny as the first one. You just got to go into it with an open mind. So Dave, it looks like we have a familiar phone number on the line here. So let's go to our Instagram girl, Miss Molly Adams. Good morning, Molly.
Morning, dudes.
Morning. You went and saw Super Troopers 2 with us, so what do you got on this?
Yeah, thanks for inviting me along. Actually, we watched the first one last night, and I think the second one was way funnier. I mean, I'd seen the first one, but I had to refresh my memory.
It sounded like blasphemy when you told me that. I was like, I don't know if I can be in the same house with you anymore.
Well, we laughed the whole way through the second one. And the first one, it felt like there was like 20 minutes between laughs. I don't know. And Farva, he doesn't have as many like lines in the first one as he did in the second one.
Yeah, he kind
of definitely should have done that in the first one.
That's true. I think you got a real good sense in that first one, though. Without having seen the first one, to go to see the second one, and then, you know, to really get that impression of Farva's personality as just like this cast off, basically outcast in his own police department, who will, you know, he just wants to be one of the boys. He doesn't even care about anything else. Just wants to be one of the boys at all costs. I will say I liked Farva in the first one a lot.
The focus in the second one was a lot more on Farva as opposed to the first one. The first one, you know, I think the kind of the punchlines and those sort of things were a lot more spread around. He was definitely a lot more involved in the second one. So tell me this, Molly. I know you just heard the my favorite part there. Did you have a favorite part of Super Troopers 2?
Oh boy. Do you mean the scene you just played with them talking in French but not really French?
I mean, you can't go wrong with that one.
that was probably my favorite too. I definitely laughed the hardest at that one.
Did you like Fast Catcher Luke Robitaille?
Yeah. That line right there was my favorite part. Just that line.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, the best part about that whole Fred Savage thing, because they keep alluding to it, and that harkens back to the first one where they keep talking about the school bus incident. what's the school bus incident? You know, Farber, you can't be out on the road because of that school bus incident. And, you know, they don't really mention it until, oh, gee, the movie's over, the credits are rolling, and then they show the school bus incident. So that was good. You knew there was going to be a payoff there. Like, okay, what's the Fred Savage incident?
I was kind of wondering if it was going to happen because I actually forgot about the school bus incident until you just brought it up. So, thank you for calling, Molly. There. Yeah, that's true. Your mind is refreshed. So thanks for calling, Molly. We will definitely catch you later. And something tells me you'll be seeing Dave probably pretty soon since you're probably in the other room. So
yeah, if you can get me some more coffee.
Yeah, I think I can hear him.
Yeah, coffee run, Molly. Coffee run. We'll catch you later, girl. All right, we're going to go ahead and set the table with our next topic. Anyone else out there listening, go ahead and give us a call at 914-803-4532. And for this one, we are going to go over to the homie for this.
The superstars of Raw and the superstars of SmackDown Live combine forces.
Raw and SmackDown come together for a co-branded pay-per-view.
The best of both brands combined for one night, two for the price of one. WWE Backlash, a co-branded pay-per-view on WWE Network. As always, free for new subscribers.
So what do you got for us today, JR? Backlash was this Sunday.
All right, guys. Well, first off, strap on your seatbelts because I went through yesterday and I actually rewatched this show just so I could be prepared. Okay. And I wanted to give you a disclaimer, gentlemen. My views and opinions today are based on that of a fan. I go into every show with the intent to enjoy it, not to purposefully hate on it or tear it apart, which seems to be popular belief today. However, in this review, I will call BS when I see it. Now, my first note on Backlash is the following. Eric, if you will.
In the Superstars Shake-Up. The King Slayer.
His opponent from Davenport, Iowa, weighs 217 pounds. He is the Intercontinental Champion, Seth Rollins.
Oh, Corey said it earlier.
Dude, that right there, is there a more over guy right now than Seth Rollins has been lately? This resurgence for him is incredible. I felt Miz was the perfect foe for him, who is just one of the top heels. I really like the match. I like how they worked the knee of Rollins. I felt they told an excellent story in this match. However, like I said, I will call BS when I see it. And it wasn't just in this match. It was kind of over the whole show. The number of kickouts on finishers annoys the hell out of me. Like, what's the point of a finishing move if it's rarely going to work, Eric?
I mean, I totally feel you on that. I think that what they're doing is they're kind of, I guess, leaning on that to try and make matches that are not that great more interesting because – they've been using that formula with John Cena for years. So I've seen a lot of that lately. Just, you know, I had so many negative opinions about Backlash just because of the brand split and I don't like the dual branded pay-per-views. And I don't know, I'm kind of sour on the whole thing right now.
Well, hopefully this review can help change your mind. I'm going to dive into the next match here, which was Alexa Bliss challenging Raw Women's Champion Nia Jax. I feel that Alexa Bliss is at the top of her game right now. I feel her Moment of Bliss segments on Raw are some of the best programming they have every week. As far as Nia Jax, I kind of like what they're doing with her is like, love yourself and be who you are and don't be a bully. Like, you know, that whole thing. I think that's an important issue in the world. Unfortunately for me, I just don't think Nia Jax is connecting with the masses right now, and I don't kind of believe in her as a women's champion. What do you think, Josh?
Well, I think watching her and Alexa go back and forth like they do is good. Sorry, my Alexa was about to go off, so I scrambled to unplug it. Well, watching these two there, if you guys don't know, they are best friends outside of working, and that comfort level really shows and it transmits inside the ring. Alexa herself is championship material, work-wise, mic-wise. Nia, not so much. And like I mentioned on last week's show, I am was a Nia hater. Up until recently, she has improved, but not to a level where she can carry herself in a 15, 20-minute, 25-minute match with somebody like Alexa or Asuka or the higher echelon women.
Yeah, man, kind of like jumping on that, like Nia has gotten better. Like, for example, her promo at the end of the match, there always seems like there's at least one liner that can kind of shine from whatever rambling she's doing. And that line at Backlash was, in the end, a bully always gets their ass kicked and the crowd just pops like crazy. So there was some good with her on the mic out of that one. I will quickly run through the next couple of matches. Jeff Hardy defending the U.S. title against Randy Orton. I felt this was a decent match. Also, Jeff nearly killed Randy, landing on him like full with that Swanton bomb. It looked kind of brutal. But yeah, the match was decent, but there wasn't really anything special to take away from it. Moving forward, I might not be alone here, and I definitely want to get Dave's opinion. But I felt the Elias, Rusev, New Day, No Way, Jose and Bobby Roode bit was the funniest part of the whole show. I felt like that was excellent stuff because, in my opinion, you need that kind of comedy. And when it's done right like that, it makes it super enjoyable, Dave.
I would absolutely agree with you 100%. Elias, super over right now. I love him. And is it bad to say that I thought that was the best part of the whole show? It was a long segment. It was kind of long, but it was done perfect. Like, they all – it was a good way to get a bunch of people involved musically. It was great. I thought that was a great segment. It really picked up. It really picked up Backlash for me, seeing that whole segment. I love Elias anytime he comes out. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Only if Eric right now could play, ladies and gentlemen, Elias.
Oh, my God,
that killed me. So,
perfect,
all right.
Perfect facial expressions from Elias. His timing is impeccable. The guy's a star.
Totally.
You like that?
I do like that. Now, the second really strong point of this show for me was SmackDown Women's Champion Carmella against challenger Charlotte Flair. This whole feud to me, guys, has just been excellent on both sides because I feel like as a fan, you really want to see Charlotte just get her hands around the throat of Carmella because she's always running like away, playing the coward heel, like in the match when she's hanging on the apron and Charlotte drags her in and she's digging her nails into the canvas. I love that stuff, Eric.
Oh, I love Carmella.
I do like the ladies, you know.
I like a Carmella.
A lot of people kind of rag on her because she doesn't really bring, I guess, the level of in-ring work that they expect. But I always argue with them, you know, Alexa Bliss is not that great in the ring either. She's just a tremendous character. And unfortunately, as much headway as we've made with the women's divisions, you know, dropping the Divas term and the whole women's evolution, revolution, whatever the hell they're calling it now, it still boils down to if you look good and have a good character, that's all you really need. And a lot of people are calling it go-away heat from her. I disagree completely. I think Mella is money.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. She's not going anywhere.
And who would have thought, you know, 2 years ago when you looked at, and 3 years ago when you looked at her, Enzo and Cass, that she would be the one with the gimmick and going headlong into it and really succeeding?
That is a really good point. That's kind of crazy to, like, even think about. Wow. All right. right, so we move forward to our, I believe, co-main event, or one of, you know, there's always multiple main events on WWE shows now. So you have Shinsuke Nakamura challenging WWE champion AJ Styles. My first thought is that this feud is definitely headed for some sort of big SummerSlam blow-off, which I'm personally pumped up about. I do strongly feel that AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the world today, hands down, and I'll fight anybody that says different. I'm really digging the Shinsuke foreign heel, where he's like, I know speak English. I think that's just perfect stuff.
Yep.
The big standout in this match for me was, of course, the double dick kick, which was incredible.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's been like the longest match of Rochambeau in the world.
It really has. It's been going on for months. It's Mania.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one takeaway. I'd be like, eh. You know, maybe something other than the dick punches, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Next on the card is tag team action. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley team up against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And I'd go as far as to say Sami Zayn's one of the best heels in the company right now. I feel like his timing with everything that he does, his movements, his mannerisms are all just really top notch. And I really feel like those two together are very entertaining, you know, themselves. But here's a few things that I want to ask you guys. First being Lashley's return. I want to go down the line here with your thoughts, Eric. Like, now, is this going to be some sort of, like, you know, long-term tag team? Or is this kind of like patchwork to get Lashley eventually that, like, great singles run?
I think this is kind of patchwork. And personally, I'm hoping that they aren't going to remain a tag team. I think Braun is just, he's way too over right now. He needs to be off on his own, doing his own thing. I think, like, patchwork is probably the best term for it, but this is kind of like time filler for both of them, because yeah, they're trying to get Lashley over. And we saw it last week after Backlash on Raw with, you know, him telling stories to Renee Young about his family, which I don't think that worked at all. But they're definitely trying to get Lashley over. And I think that they're going to try and establish him as hovering around that main event. He can kind of go from mid card to main event, but I think at this point they want some new top fresh talent, and that's kind of what they're trying to do with him right now. But Braun's way too hot for them to remain a tandem. They got to move him off to something else.
All right, now speaking of hot new fresh talent, we're gonna go with Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe in the main event. which Roman Reigns, I'm sure we all can't get enough of late. All jokes aside, I just, you know, I haven't been able to get behind Roman for quite a while. I find myself always kind of tuning out anytime he's on the screen. I feel like something needs to be, you know, done to change that. Is it a heel turn? I don't know. That seems to be like popular opinion, but I don't know that, you know, the WWE universe would start cheering him just to be defiant, honestly. Samoa Joe, one word association with him is believable. He is the most believable person on the roster. I put him right up there next to Brock Lesnar. I felt Samoa Joe put on a wrestling clinic. He told a great story. But yeah, I got into the match as much as I could. I really want to see new faces in the main event spot. And I don't think that's just me. But overall, you know, I'm not really one to give kind of like a grade to the show per se, because I think that can be very subjective based on what you may want to happen personally. But I will say this in closing, that I did enjoy the show, and confession for you guys, I am a big fan of the Best of Both Worlds song that is made for the co-brand pay-per-view commercials. I listen to it all the time.
Oh, no.
I love it.
Is that your hot take?
You just made the list.
Come on. Come on. I do like it. I like it. I can't get enough. But yeah, that's my review of WWE Backlash.
Excellent.
Let me kind of fire another question just to wrap that up with a little bow on the main event there. So let's go around the table here on this. Who thinks that Roman and Joe should have been the main event? Or should it have been something else? We'll start with you, JR.
I wouldn't have mind seeing AJ and Shinsuke in the main event because there's actually a title on the line and it's the WWE Championship. That match should always go on last, in my opinion, because I'm kind of a traditionalist in that respect.
How about you, Josh? What do you think?
What's going on? I heard Roman Reigns' name and I kind of zoned out a while ago, I'm going to be honest.
Do you think that Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe should have been the main event of Backlash?
That wasn't the main event. The main event was before that with Shinsuke and AJ.
Yeah.
As JR said, you go into this as a fan, and as a fan, I view the better talent and the championship match as the main event, whether it goes on last or not. And to do this to Samoa Joe is insulting to him. They need to either have Reigns go away or turn him heel, because what they're doing to him as a character I don't think is good for him as a person.
How about you, Dave? What do you think? Do you think that should have been the main?
Well, knowing what I know now, knowing how the matches ended, if that was the main event and Shinsuke and AJ Styles and it ended in double dick punch count out, I don't I would have hated the show even more than I already do. So I guess no, I would have to say they did the right thing. Even though I was definitely I thought Samoa Joe was going over there, but
yeah,
like I said, we went through predictions for Backlash last week, and I think I got just about everything wrong. So what the heck do I know?
Yeah, I think it should have been the main event. However, I think that Samoa Joe should have went over there. He needed it more. Roman's been on a losing streak, but at this point, Roman's pretty much untouchable. I think, honestly, as much as fans don't like him, we're going to kind of always look at him as a top guy now because we've been trained to see him as a top guy. So I think that Samoa Joe really could have used the momentum a lot more there, especially since he's moved over to SmackDown Live. He's been still working Raw live events on the European tour right now, which is a little unusual, I guess, still working Roman. But yeah, he definitely could have used the win a lot more there. If they're going for a third Universal title shot between Lesnar and Reigns, you could have gave Roman that opportunity some other way. You know, you don't have to use Joe to give Roman the victory there. All right, so we're going to move on to our next topic and set the table. So far, we've got Super Troopers 2. We've got Backlash on the table. We can throw in any of your other movie talk as well. Go ahead and give us a call at 914-803-4532. And next up, we are going to head to the good old baseball stadium. So what do you got for us this morning, old Davey?
Well, you know, it's I was planning on talking all Sox Yanks right now because, hey, we're Sox fans in this part of the country. I mean, there's a few Yankees fans up here, too. It's a huge historical rivalry. And I was all ready to talk about it, too. But you know what? There's been so much going on that just kind of took my attention away from it. And, you know, the fact that the Yankees kind of, you know, put the boots to the Red Sox kind of sealed the deal for me. So I watched a little bit of the Sox-Yankees series. I don't know, did you guys catch any of this? I don't know, JR, if you're into baseball at all. But
I'm into baseball movies.
Baseball movies? Hey, I am too.
Yes.
You know, build it and they'll come.
Exactly, bro.
So I was all ready to talk about that, but then I got caught up in Winnipeg Jets, my Winnipeg Jets. So I was predicting that they would go to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they've moved on. They moved on from Nashville, which was a big win for Winnipeg. But, to go back to Sox-Yanks, it looks like the rivalry is starting to get renewed. What do you boys think?
I think it's definitely back on. Watching from where the Red Sox and Yankees have both been the last few seasons and to see them where they are now with the young talent that's potentially could be around for a decade or more at this point. Yeah. I think we're beginning to see the start of something new.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Geez, as far as the Yankees go with Aaron Judge, you know, they add Stanton this offseason. They got some firepower now. And with the Red Sox, can't go wrong with Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts has been an animal already this season. Geez, I think he's got 12 or 13 home runs already, I think. But yeah, like I said, it's still too early for me. It's too early for baseball. It's too much good stuff going on. The NBA with the Celtics. Oh, God. Celtics going against LeBron again. Again with LeBron. You can't get away from this guy. But, geez, you know, so like I said, I came in here all ready to talk baseball. Except I'm not all ready to talk baseball because it's too early. It's too early. There's too much awesome playoffs going on right now. You know, if you're into the NHL, boy, if you're not into the NHL, you really should be getting into it in these playoffs with some new teams that, you know, are not used to the playoff atmosphere. As far as brand new Vegas, they come out of nowhere and they're in the Western Conference Finals. You know, the Penguins go down to the Capitals. Capitals finally, the little brother finally gets one over on Big Brother. So a lot of good storylines out there. So, but anyway, Sox Yanks, Eric, have you been following along? What do you think? Who do you think has gotten the better of this last off season here? Who comes out on top between the Sox and the Yanks in the AL East?
I think it's going to be tight all year long. I do think that the Red Sox overall have the better pitching staff than the Yankees do. So I think that that really means a lot once you get into the September months and once you hit the playoffs. As far as the rivalry being back, I would have to disagree because no matter, even though it's May right now and no matter what time of year it is, the rivalry might ramp up a little bit for big games and important games. But, you know, we're all old enough that we live through it now, the curse. You know, the curse, forever we couldn't get the World Series. And when we finally did, that put the kibosh on everything. You know, the rivalry really kind of died there or began to die there. Once that was over, the games, they no longer meant as much, you know, because we finally got off the schneid. And especially since then, you know, we've got 3 World Series now. So we've been to the promised land multiple times at this point. And just, I don't know, that whole curse thing. And once that went over, I think actually, I just thought of this. Another good point is there's not really, like, baseball fans aren't the way that they used to be. We've been to Fenway a couple of times now.
Yeah.
And if you're there, you know, yelling and razzing people, you got a bunch of families with little kids looking at you like you're some arsehole for being into the game.
You got to watch what you say, you know, foul language frowned upon. It's very much more a picnic atmosphere. It's like going to a Sea Dogs game now, going up to, you know, Fenway Park for baseball.
Absolutely.
So
the atmosphere is
totally different.
Yeah, the game is not as popular. We've seen it, you know, over the probably the last 10 years. Pretty much it feels like since that rivalry kind of died off, baseball hasn't been as popular. Football has really taken over. They got to do some stuff with the pace of play because I don't have time to sit there through a 3.5-hour, 4-hour baseball game and watch every single pitch, watch every single time the guy scratches his balls. You know, I don't have time for it, especially this early on in the year. So to me, the rivalry is dead. What do you got on this, JR?
I mean, you guys bring up an interesting point about rivalries. Like, for me, I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, so our biggest rival is probably the Giants, you know, maybe the stupid Eagles, idiots. But
hey,
it's like,
we can at least all agree on the stupid Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like the rivalries even exist anymore because all of these players are best friends with each other on opposing teams, and I hate that.
This is true.
It's like Dez Bryant is best friends with Odell Beckham Jr. And I'm like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
I hear you, yeah.
That's just true.
Yeah, that's just, it's just annoying for me seeing guys just being best friends and then, oh, it's like, oh, they're on Instagram together and they're out having brunch. It's like, oh, well, that's nice. You guys are playing a game tomorrow when the playoffs are on the line.
Right.
Exactly.
So you actually bring up a good point, JR. So you're a Cowboys fan. Were you a Cowboys fan who was rooting against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, or were you a Cowboys fan that said, you know what, I've had enough of the Patriots. I don't even care that it's the Eagles. I just hope the Patriots go down.
That's kind of a loaded question because that brings me back to, like, those both times, and I don't want to rehash any old wounds for you fellas, but those both times that the Giants beat the Pats in the bowl. Like, that was a double-edged sword for me.
Yeah. Ooh.
Because I was like, Eli is, like, the best awful player of all time. I don't know how he does it. So
now that's a hot take.
Yeah, that is coming at you. All right. So, yeah, the thing about that was I get really upset with the Patriot fan base, particularly around me in Portland, because
yes.
It's like everybody's a fan because it's convenient. Now, mind you, once Brady and Belichick, you know, Belichick is gone, which honestly, guys, is probably going to be within the next two, three years. Are they still going to be fans? Like, I don't have a problem with the team. Tom Brady is arguably the greatest of all time. But it's like, for me, I've been a fan of the Cowboys since I was a little kid, and we haven't won a championship in over 20 years. Like,
yep.
But I'm still hanging on, like, hoping. I don't know what the hell we're doing now, but, you know, it's just –
I think that raises a good point, though, is you're still a fan, and you haven't won in 20 years, and the Cowboys are still the – what? They're still the number one revenue-based team out there. They got more money than God.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly
get – and they're still bringing
watched.
In the fans, you know?
Yeah.
They're still America's team.
Yeah, I don't agree with cutting Dez Bryant. I don't think it was all his fault. This may be a story for another day, but I feel like the dink and dunk offense has turned into the dink and Dak offense because he's a quarterback who refuses to push the ball up the field, and you're not going to win games in the NFL throwing the ball to the sidelines. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Agreed.
Usually every Cowboy fan I talk to loves Dak Prescott. Doesn't
no.
sound like you're
wonderful. Tony is my guy forever. Tony, you need to understand this. I catch a lot of crap for this too, but Tony is my guy because he was the Dallas Cowboys quarterback through my entire 20s.
Yep.
For over 10 years, that was my ride or die, number 9.
Yep.
And it's just, it was like, it's still tough for me to like accept that he's not out there. And there was at least 3 occasions where, you know, Tony should have won a bowl. Him and Witten should have won a championship. And just with management and Jerry Jones as a walking zombie, we're just, I don't know.
They should
have
at least won a playoff game.
Playoffs? What are we talking, playoffs?
I mean, let's get that one done first, at least.
Well, they did. They did win a playoff game.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's that.
Well, I mean, we win so many of them, JR, that we can't keep track of the couple that other people get.
I
don't even start watching the playoffs until the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Like, for example, my pal Dave, all right, he's a big Sox guy. He actually just did photography on the David Ortiz cookbook, which was a pretty cool experience. I got to go around and, you know, shoot all this kind of stuff with him. But he's a big Patriots fan.
Yep.
But I honestly tell him, I was like, you're a Patriots fan because it's based on convenience. I've known him since we were 12, since we had bowl cuts, and he didn't even watch football back then. He's also, coincidentally, a huge Alabama Crimson Tide fan. And I'm just like, Dave, stop. He's like, well, my aunt lives down there. That's why I'm a fan. I was like, that's BS. You're a fan because both franchises are unstoppable. And you find something within your life to justify being a fan. Oh,
yeah.
He pisses me off.
I think there's an in general problem with sports that a lot of fans, they're kind of going more to being fans of specific players rather than having loyalty to teams. You know, I think we've seen a lot of that with LeBron, and, you know, obviously I think baseball, you know, is a big part of that. We saw, you know, some of that the other day when Andrew McCutchen finally made his return to Pittsburgh, and they kept cheering him all night, but he's a member of the San Francisco Giants. So, you know, they're still a fan of him, but they're Pirates fans too. I don't know. I think, I think that there's a lot of conflict of interest there. So,
sure. So I think fantasy sports could probably be a factor in that too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Which we definitely will be getting into.
We'll talk about that another day.
Yeah. In later weeks on the show, since we're all part of the same, same fantasy league for football. So, all right, we're going to continue on with our Set the Table. You can go ahead and give us a call, 914-803-4532, and we are going to get into our final topic. All right, so obviously we're going to be talking NXT, but what specifically about NXT do you want to talk about today, Josh?
Well, specifically, it does pertain to NXT, but moreover, these people who are already on the main roster that have come up, and while they were in NXT, they were good performers, they had decent characters, but they weren't really over. They didn't get the reactions in NXT, even at the takeovers that they get on the main roster. Two I want to really focus on are Elias and the pairing of the Iconics, Peyton and Billy.
Yes.
Because Elias is someone that, as I watched him in NXT, you could tell he had charisma. You could tell he had a savvy to him, but it's like the crowd just didn't pop for him. They didn't really get any good reactions. And now, as mentioned earlier, you see him performing and the crowd just goes bananas for him. JR, what do you think about Elias?
Elias is really, like, I remember listening to him on the Edge and Christian podcast, and his story was kind of incredible. I really think he's been able to take this gimmick, and he's almost one of those, like, from nothing to something, because I remember watching him on NXT, and he was, like, he was the drifter, and he was just a guy who would just, you know, roam around with his guitar, and it was like, who is this guy, you know? And now for him to turn into this, ladies and gentlemen, Elias. And the who wants to watch, like, it's amazing to see how he's been able to take his call up and really have significantly more success on the main roster than he did down in NXT, just to piggyback on your point.
Oh, and the crowd control that he seems to exhibit is that of somebody that's been doing this for 20 years at this point. I mean, he rivals levels of The Miz when it comes to being able to play the crowd back and forth. And that really says something for as short a time as he's been doing it on this stage.
Yeah.
Peyton and Billy, these two.
Yes.
I mean, they were good. They were good in NXT. I mean, they were decent in the ring. I'd put Peyton a little above Billy.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
The accents.
Absolutely. But they also didn't seem to really get over. I mean, obviously they're heels and they're not supposed to, you know, get a pop. But on the main roster, it just seems the crowd is really reacting to them. I'm a little bit over the imitation gimmick that Peyton does. I think she goes a little far at times trying to push her funny. Eric, what do you think?
I mean, I'm okay with it. I see what they're trying to do. My issue with Billy and Peyton is I kind of had forgotten about them because they both were gone from NXT for so long. And then we only saw them briefly before they got called up. If anything, I felt like the reaction on the main roster to them has been, you know, not as good as what they were getting in NXT, unless I'm remembering incorrectly. But for Elias, you know, the thing with him is what he was doing in NXT was not what he was doing on the main roster. He was doing it on NXT live events, but he never did it on television for them. So that whole, you know, concert gimmick and playing to the crowd and ladies and gentlemen, welcome Elias. That whole thing is really built for the main roster and a bigger crowd, a lot better than that small atmosphere of NXT television. So I think that's why we're really seeing him become kind of a surprise success story. The Iconics, it's still too early for me. I need to see more from them. But to me, it seems like they're almost pushing Peyton like a little bit more to the forefront than Billy. So I don't know. I think there could be something there down the road as well. But they're just still building a foundation at this point.
I think these two girls are going to equal money for years to come. I legitimately feel that because there's a certain thing that you can't teach, you know, and on the football field, it's speed, and in wrestling, it's charisma. And like just seeing them, you know, come out in that first promo they cut on Charlotte. And when Peyton actually did her impression of Charlotte, I was blown away by that because they kind of underwhelmed me a little bit in NXT, but I did appreciate the whole Mean Girls kind of gimmick, but I was just blown away by it. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that these girls were this good. But Eric does bring up a good point that after that initial impression of Charlotte, it's like somebody backstage is like, you have to do that every week now. That was so great. And then it's not as special because you see it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that perhaps they're going to break these two up. I mean, as they are doing with Sasha and Bayley, but that's a whole other thing. And that way you're really going to start to see the separation to your point of pushing Peyton more. She has more charisma. She's the one they're giving the mic to, and she's the one that's really seems to be getting the push at this point.
Yeah.
You mentioned charisma. How about somebody that came up a while ago that was great on NXT? Ring-wise, you can't teach this kind of athleticism, but now you see him on the main roster, and Apollo just doesn't seem to be cutting it. JR?
Yeah, that's such a bummer, man, because I remember there just being so much hype about him signing with NXT, and I was, you know, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really know much about him before that, but, you know, once he did sign, I would... Yeah, exactly. I would go back and watch a lot of his stuff because... You know, some of my pals were like, man, you got to see him. Like, this is big. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, this guy, like you said, is an athlete. Like, you wouldn't believe, like, some of the things he can do in the ring, like, cruiserweights can't even do. So for a guy that size to be able to move that way and be as athletic as he can, it sucks because, you know, the general audience doesn't appreciate that because in WWE, you have to have a significant character, and unfortunately, he just doesn't have that. You know, it's a bummer for sure, Eric.
Yeah, the issue with Apollo is I think that he was brought up too soon, and he was brought up at the wrong time. You know, he never really spoke much in NXT. We all knew that he could work, which everybody pretty much, you got to be able to work in this day and age for the most part, unless you're a female, which I talked about earlier. But yeah, he came up the day after WrestleMania, which is always a loaded Raw. So his debut was kind of, I guess, under the radar a little bit anyways. And they just never gave him any kind of an opportunity to show some personality until this pairing with Titus O'Neil. So I think we've seen a lot of cases of Apollo Crews in your NXT call-ups where a lot of guys will have success in NXT and then they get up to the main roster and they become like a total joke, like Bo Dallas, who was an NXT champion and was very young and is still very young and has still a lot to offer, in my opinion. But I think we see a lot more NXT call-up failures than we see success stories. I don't know. What do you think about that, Josh?
I definitely think that there's a lot more failures than there are success stories, recently at least, because you have to remember, Seth Rollins came from NXT, Roman Reigns came from NXT, all those guys in their early days came up from there, Sasha, Charlotte, their whole women's division was NXT at one point. So
you can't really, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends. I guess I'm looking at more, you know, I'm remembering the Adam Rose, you know, Apollo Crews, Bo Dallas. I mean, I would almost consider Neville a failure at this point because he's gone. You know, I guess Corey Graves never really got called up, but he should have been anyways. But, of course, due to injuries, yeah, I probably wouldn't put him in that same grouping. But it just, I don't know. To me, it seems like outside of the women, if we leave the women out of it, then I think on the men's side of things, there's definitely a lot more failures. I don't know. What do you got, JR?
Well, I mean, I was going to bring up Adam Rose, but you had just mentioned him because I loved that character. I thought that was going to come up to the main roster and that was going to crush from the music to the don't be a lemon, be a rosebud to the, like the party bus. Like I just thought that was all so cool and the music just fit perfectly. But it was like, they changed all of that when he did come up and the music wasn't the same. And I don't know. It just didn't, it's that whole thing where if you, like when you get over with that kind of cult following down there at Full Sail, we have all seen it time and time again. That's a niche audience. They are there for that particular kind of thing. And we've seen it over and over again with a lot of the talent that you've just mentioned. Unfortunately, it just doesn't get over with the masses on the main roster. And maybe it's a timing issue. Maybe there's not enough room on the card. Maybe it's just that product of it's a niche audience down in NXT and what works there isn't necessarily going to work here. That's kind of my take on that.
I think you're absolutely right. I have made that point on numerous other things as well. NXT is on the network. So that is specifically designed for us, the hardcore fans. Yeah. And it does not always translate to the main roster because the main roster is a lot of, I guess fair weather fans, if you want to call it that, or, you know, mommy and daddy bringing little Jimmy to go see John Cena and Roman Reigns kind of a deal. So,
yeah,
you know, it's definitely a big jump in terms of like age groups and who's exactly watching everything anyways. So it looks like we
totally.
Just lost.
And like
Josh
and Eric also, like, you know, one of the guys that I really do enjoy on NXT is the Velveteen Dream. Talk about a guy who has completely reinvented himself. And he is so over with that audience, but I have that bad feeling in my gut, man, that if, you know, in the event that he does get called up, that
they're
going to
ruin him.
It's going to be rejected. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of have that same feeling and I really hope that's not the case because the guy is super talented.
Yep.
Can't take my eyes off him when he's on the screen. So, I would agree with you there. I love the Velveteen Dream.
Now,
there's already been talk of bringing him up as well. So,
wow. Is there a guy currently on the NXT roster? Actually, this is a great question here. Is there a talent on the NXT roster or on the active main roster that isn't Roman Reigns that can legitimately carry the flag when Cena's gone? Is that person currently employed? Yes or no?
Great question. That's a great question. I'd have to say no.
Same.
I can't immediately come out with somebody, and that's what you need to be able to do.
Yeah.
For a guy to be the flag bearer, if you will.
Yeah.
You need to go, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is definitely the guy. And I don't think that guy has emerged yet, or they're there and their personality just hasn't brought them there to that next level. Not saying that he couldn't be there.
Yep.
But it's just not apparent yet.
Yeah.
In my
Agreed,
mind.
Man. Agreed.
Yeah, I think that there are guys that have that potential, but if you're talking more of like a long-term kind of a thing, then I would have to say he's not there because the guys that I can think of, they're all right around the same age as Roman. You know, I think Braun Strowman would have a good chance of doing that. I think Seth Rollins could do that.
Yeah.
I think AJ Styles could do that, but he's obviously older, so it's a lot harder. So, I mean, a question like that, you're trying to, I guess, kind of predict the future. So looking ahead, you know, I think a lot of fans would say someone like Ricochet might have a chance. Personally, I still need to see more of him, and I don't think that he has the size to be that kind of a guy or the charisma yet. So, I don't know. It's really tough. I see a lot of potential in guys down in NXT, but I mean, I would have to say that they don't have that guy yet. So let me wrap this up here and pose a question to everybody. Is if you could pick one person from NXT right now to be called up today, who would you go with? And I'll start off with you, Josh.
Oh, that's a tough one. There's a lot to pick from there. You know what? I'd have to take a pairing. I want the Street Profits.
Oh,
wow.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yep. And here's the reason why. I think they already have that thing that you can't teach, and that's charisma. Angelo Dawkins has been working in NXT for a long, long time now. His in-ring ability is good, and I just think that they have what it takes. Montez Ford, the way he presents that gimmick, the way he carries himself is – you can't teach that. So I want them.
I thought you couldn't teach being a 7-footer. I'm hearing a lot of you can't teach other things today.
Look,
there's a lot of things you can't teach. Well, Big Cass has been very wrong
apparently,
about a lot of things in his life. So.
Apparently, you can't teach Enzo that no means no either. Hey,
oh, no. Gosh, oh, no.
Too soon, Eric. Too soon.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's all right.
All right, JR, give me your NXT call-up pick if you could make one today.
All right, I'm just gonna flat out tell you, it's not even a hard pick for me at all. I feel this guy can legitimately help be the future. I definitely see him up there talent-wise, you know, close to Seth Rollins, you know, a couple rungs below AJ Styles, but I'm referring to Adam Cole, baby!
Oh, baby.
I think a lot of people would go with Adam Cole. How about you, Dave? Who's your pick? You can call someone up today.
You know, I was thinking about Adam Cole, too. That's a great pick. Great pick. I'm not a huge Adam Cole guy, which I know that sounds like blasphemy for any... You're talking NXT, but... geez, just to throw a wild card out there, I'll say Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay.
I don't think that's really
much of a wild card. I think that's actually a really great pick.
I think he's about ready to make the jump. I mean, as far as gaining heat in NXT, he's probably gained about as much as you could ever hope for, down there. And, I'd like to see what he can do on the next stage. I don't think he's a guy that needs to hold a title or anything.
No.
I think he is pretty close. Pretty close. I'll just say that. Chop.
You know why that's an awesome pick from you? Is because when I think of him, I think of believable, badass heel.
Yes.
And the key word there is believable. Like, he's a legitimate badass to me. Good pick.
Yeah, and he's doing it outside the ring, too. You know, he's doing that heel thing on social media. He's really bringing it to all aspects of his life, which is what you got to do if you want to be a believable heel.
I love it.
Yeah, him and Johnny Gargano might be the hottest feud in wrestling right now, which leads me into my pick, which you guys probably, I guess, wouldn't even consider this. But 205 Live is the main roster. So
yes,
if I'm calling up somebody today, I'm calling up Johnny Gargano, and I'm making him the face of 205 Live, because
right,
I think you need to start putting names on that show. The show has been phenomenal lately, but people don't care because, A, it comes on after SmackDown Live, and people are really only sticking around for that dark main event. The crowds have been a lot more into it lately, for sure, but B, there's no names that anybody cares about in there. So I think you need to start adding guys like Johnny Gargano, possibly Aleister Black, I think Ricochet should spend some time there as well. You need to at least have these guys there for, I don't know, at least a year, I would say. Help build that brand up. Turn it into something.
Yes.
But if I'm going to go the other way, like someone on Raw or SmackDown Live, it's got to be EC3. Nobody's more ready than EC3. So those would be my choices.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, so that will clean things up there for our Set the Table. Anybody, still give us a call, 914-803-4532. And we are going to go into our final segment. Guys, I think I hear something coming down the road. Lock the doors.
Oh, my God.
The Take Popo are here. So if you didn't check out the show last week, this is where we all give one hot take, and then at the end we will vote on it, and we will dump one, a term I kind of stole from you, homie. So
bump it or dump it, baby.
Where do I send the right?
I like it.
All right, so we are going to kick off with Josh's hot take. Josh, what do you have today?
I'm going to carry my trend of NXT right along into my hot take. These gentlemen have been a massive disappointment on the main roster. And I say by WrestleMania next year, the Ascension will be defending the world championships in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Ooh.
That is red hot right there. I didn't expect anything like that.
Wow.
Holy smokes, man.
Jeez.
All right. Our next hot take.
I mean, he does bring up a good point. I mean, they obviously have the talent with the run that they had in NXT. Like, I thought these guys were the next Legion of Doom, not the Legion of Dump.
Right?
Yeah, I could definitely see them. I could see them being gone as well, so that part of it I buy.
Yeah.
Let me clean up my point. I'm not saying they're going to win the titles in WWE and leave. I say they're going to leave WWE and win the titles in New Japan.
Exactly, yep.
Okay.
All right. We will go to Dave next. Dave, what's your hot take today?
All right. So my hot take last week, which you guys dumped, was that the Houston Rockets would win the NBA championship, which is still possible. Who knows? Still possible. Just throwing that out there. But
so you're
anyway.
Telling me there's a chance.
Yeah! Damn right. So I guess this week I'll go to the hockey world, and I love my Winnipeg Jets. I call them my Winnipeg Jets because my Boston Bruins aren't in it. So
yeah,
we'll just go with. But you know what? I really think this is the year that Alex Ovechkin gets over the hump, becomes a Stanley Cup champion. They're gonna take down Tampa Bay Lightning, who ousted my Bruins. And they're gonna take it to whoever comes out of the West, I think. I think they just got a lot of firepower. Holtby has always been a Bruins killer, so I know he's more than capable. So, I'll say Capitals over Winnipeg in the Stanley Cup final.
Okay. I smell what you're stepping in.
Okay, I'll shake your bouncy booty.
Damn
right. All right, JR. Give us your hot take today. I have no idea what yours is, so I'm expecting something good. What do you got, homie?
Okay. Well, gentlemen, when you think of, you know, classic eras in wrestling, you know, I like to think of let's just say classic eras of WWE, because we don't want to open it up to the whole territory days. I think of the golden age of the 80s, right? I also think of, obviously, what we grew up with, which we were fortunate enough to grow up with, which was the Attitude Era. Those are probably, you know, in our lifespan, the two biggest times in wrestling that we've ever experienced. However, gentlemen, I'm predicting that within the next 5 to 10 years, okay, mm-hmm. professional wrestling will surpass both the golden age of the 80s and the 90s Attitude Era.
Wow. All right. Yeah, that's definitely... I might have to two-time you on that one. They're right. coming back for round two to put you in the clink, sir.
Hear me out, though. Hear me out, though. Before I get cuffed and stuffed, hear me out. Okay, I really like what they're doing in New Japan. I really like that I can watch them in the States, you know. I love the Bullet Club. I love Marty. I love Kenny. I love Cody. And I love what they're doing with All In. And WWE, you know, there's things that we don't like per se, but they've really been on fire as of late. I think they're producing a lot of really good stuff. So I feel if you take all of that, competition is what created the best out of the Attitude Era. And I feel like, you know, within that time frame that I gave you, New Japan's going to be able to compete with WWE, and we're going to get that same kind of exciting feel that we had in the late 90s.
All right. I like it, sir. I like it. All right. So that just leaves me. And you kind of heard me touch on this a little bit if you listened to the show last week. But my hot take today concerns this. I am going to say that Rusev is not over, but the Rusev Day chant is over. So let me kind of explain a little bit. So
Eric,
I look at this out of here, Eric. Yeah, that's kind of a...
Who let you back in the house?
Yes, indeed, who let you back in the house?
Yeah, somebody let me back in. So I kind of look at the Rusev Day chant as kind of like the 10 chant for Ty Dillinger, you know? We don't see much of him. And Ty Dillinger's not really over. But you are hearing that chant all the time.
Yeah.
So I think we see a lot of reflection in my statement here. If you ever check out the like things like the YouTube reports on thechairshot.com that I write.
Attitude, bitch.
Dude, somebody get him a coffee, for the love of God. But we see it's reflected in the numbers. We see a lot of views for people like Roman Reigns, people like Brock Lesnar. Seth Rollins is getting a lot of views. Rusev does not get a lot of views. So I think people just enjoy using that chant when there's something going on in the ring they don't like.
Yeah.
Just to really kind of continue to make themselves part of the show or try and be the show, like they do with the Beach Balls, which don't even get me started on those stupid things. So that's my hot take for today. Rusev is not over, but Rusev Day chant is
like
over.
That. You like that? I think I'm definitely behind you on that one, Eric, for sure.
All right, so let's go around the table then, and we're going to vote one of these off. Since you just chimed in, JR, we will start with you. Which hot take are you going to dump today?
Let's see. There was some pretty good. Probably the one about the hockey. Just because the only thing I know about hockey is the knuckle puck. Other than that, I have no idea what you said. I don't know who Alex is. All I know is that Chris Jericho is a big fan of the Jets, and he was trashing on the Preds, and it was funny because I got to talk about it on my show.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know why, funny. JR.
Why?
It's because he's from Winnipeg, you idiot.
Of course, right?
Right. All right, yeah, so JR is going to go with the Washington Capitals winning the Stanley Cup. Dave, what would you like to dump this week?
Geez. You know, you all had pretty good takes here. It's tough to disagree with any of you. But if I had to pick one, I would have to say that the current WWE product surpassing the legendary times of the 80s and the 90s, that's a tall order. It's just a tall
Remember,
order.
I told you within the next 10 years. I didn't say tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's true. But I'm not a very good prognosticator. I can't predict the future. Not that far ahead. I'm not even, you know, very good about my own take about the Capitals winning this year. So I'll have to dump that one if I had to pick.
Fair enough.
Sorry,
Fair enough, bro.
All right. All right, Josh, who are you going to vote for today?
Well, Eric, I'm very sorry about this, but I am going to argue with you, and I think Rusev is over. I think the Rusev Day chant is a real thing, in the same way the Yes chant was a real thing, and Daniel Bryan was over at the time, and still is way, way over. But I will agree with you on a small part of your point that the crowd does use the chant to hijack the show. But
yes.
I got to disagree with you that Rusev isn't over.
Why you got to rip on me like that, son?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Somebody's bullshit. Jealous of Lana.
Hey, you guys, real quick. This is on the topic of Lana, but one day my boss at work was like, hey, do you want to do a phone interview with Lana from the WWE? And I was like, yeah. So I went into work at like I went into work at 7 a.m. during what they call a snowstorm here, when everybody was advised to stay home, mind you. There was like an inch of snow on the ground. People just lose their shit out here. And I went in and I talked with her for like 10 minutes, and she was super chill.
Nice. Was she doing the fake Russian accent still?
No, she was just being her.
Good.
And it was, you know, there was kind of like a motive behind it where, you know, to push her story and to push her on the, you know, the Diva show and,
yep.
you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, she was cool.
That's awesome, man. Well, of course, they, you know, they both live in Nashville and they're huge Predators fans.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Boy, guys, that leaves it down to me. Everybody's got a vote right now except for Josh. So I'm not going to vote for Josh just because that would make things pretty fucky right now. So
I like things
fucky.
Yeah, that's what things are the best, right?
I live for fucky things.
I can't vote for my own, so that leaves it up between the Caps winning the cup or New Japan Pro Wrestling surpassing WWE within the next 10 years.
Don't you do it to me twice in a row.
No. Eric, that's not what I said.
All right, clarify.
So professional wrestling or sports entertainment, however you cut your pizza, it will surpass in popularity the golden age of the 80s and the late 90s attitude era in a whole, not just one company.
Within
all
10
right,
years.
All right. So JR's trying to sell me. Sell me pretty hard.
You're a fucking nerd. You're a fucking nerd. No one likes you.
I had to do it one time, homie. I'm sorry. I just had to.
My stomach.
I can't dump the Caps within the cup because I really think they're going to. And when we talked last week, I picked them to pick Pittsburgh. I was the only one that picked them to pick Pittsburgh, and I'm not too schooled on hockey, but you know, I catch
True.
Stuff on SportsCenter, and I think they look really good right now. I do think that there is an opportunity for pro wrestling to continue to keep growing, and we're seeing examples of that with New Japan venturing over into the U.S. for shows now. We've got the big event from Cody and the Young Bucks All In coming up, which is all self-funded in Chicago in September, which tickets go on sale for that today, actually.
4:30.
So I think that there is a chance for that. I hate to do it, homie, but I have to vote. I got to vote against you.
Oh, come on.
I got to, man. I'm sorry. All right.
You know what happens, Eric?
Today.
You know what happens when you don't agree with my hot take? You know what happens?
I mean, I'll do it.
You know what? You just made the list. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
When you're putting yourself on the list, you know.
You stupid idiot.
All right, guys. So today we are dumping that professional wrestling as a whole will be just as popular as it was in the 80s and 90s. Sorry, homie.
That's all right.
That's
okay,
good.
Yeah, I wanted to come out with something just really bold, and that just popped into my head first.
Well, hey,
I like it. It's a good take.
It is a good take. That's exactly what we're looking for there. So
wonderful.
Gotta love.
All right, guys, that's gonna wrap it up for the show this week. Before we let you go, we're gonna get some plugs in here. Of course, we want you to follow thechairshot.com for all your latest skull smashing opinion, news, reviews, everything in the world of professional wrestling and more. There are loads of podcasts outside of the Top of the Morning show on Chairshot Radio Network, so definitely be sure to check that out. And if you would like to follow them on social media, they are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at thechairshot.com with no dot. You can follow me on the Twitterverse at @E_Ames, A-M-E-S 323. Dave, where can people find you on Twitter?
Oh, you can find me at Davey, D-A-V-E-Y, _Adams.
See, I always have to ask because I, you know, being a social media director, I forget all these things. So, Josh, go ahead and hit them up with your Twitter, where people can find you at.
You can find me at SwirlyJ22.
SwirlyJ22, that's S-W-I-R-L-Y 22. That just rolls off the tongue, so you guys say it that way. JR,
beautiful.
You got lots of stuff going on, man. Go ahead and hit everybody with all that info, where they can find you next, where you're appearing, all that good stuff.
Well, of course, you can listen to my night show here in Nashville, which is top three in the market, mind you, right now. It's called JR's Party Playhouse, and you can listen to that 7 p.m. to weeknights. You can download the i1067 app or listen, you know, on the website. It'd be cool to get a call from you guys at some point. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. They're all the same. It's kind of like Mickey Mouse. You know, you know the whole jingle, but it's YAFAVHOMIEJR. And hit me up and just, you know, you can write me and tell me that you agree with my bold take, even if these stupid idiots don't. And I look forward to your tweets.
You stupid idiots. Yes, and definitely be sure to go to iTunes. You can also get it on Spotify. Put a little bit of this in your mouth. I like to take you all around the world. You just do something to me. No. Go peep that. Go pick that up, people. So we're going to wrap things up. Exactly. Everything counts there. So we're going to wrap things up like we did last week, and we will do every week. If you need a little extra kick in the ass on this Mother's Day, Sunday morning to get you going, this is our motivation music, and this is the homie's pick. So without giving it away just yet, homie, why did you end up going with this one today?
I went with this because any DJ gig that I go to do, I've been right in the midst of prom season, and I need to listen to something that I'm not going to play ever at a prom. And this is the perfect song for that. So with that said, I've got two words for you.
Two words for you. This is D-Generation X, Run DMC. We will see you guys next week.
Thank you.
See you, everybody.
ChairShot.com. Always use your head.